This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
When crypto speculation moves mainstream. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. You can buy one or part of a Bitcoin, the digital currency. You can do it outright. A whole one will cost you $62,216 today, more than quadruple what it was a year ago. Or, starting this morning, you can buy an investment fund made up of Bitcoin futures and plop it right into your portfolio next to everything else. Why would a person do one over the other? To help us with this, let's turn to Eric Gordon, a University of Michigan Ross School of Business professor who joins us from Ann Arbor. Good morning.
Hello, David.
Why would a person buy a Bitcoin fund traded in Chicago as opposed to just buying a Bitcoin if you want to speculate if it's going up or down?
It seems a little crazy because you can buy Bitcoins directly. And you're not buying in this fund. You're not buying Bitcoins. In fact, you're not buying shares in an ETF. An ETF is something like a mutual fund that buys Bitcoin. You're buying shares in an ETF that buys futures on Bitcoin. And why would you do it? Well, you might do it for the same reason the SEC has pushed Bitcoin ETFs this way. The SEC thinks that holding Bitcoins directly is not very safe. And there's some reason for believing that.
Yeah, I mean, because hackers can sometimes get in. You can forget your Bitcoin password. So there's a structure to this. Now, futures. This is a person entering into a contract with someone else, a counterparty, agreeing that at a certain future date, someone's going to buy something from someone else. So it's a way, like, I think if Bitcoin's going up, you could buy a contract that would profit if that works out that way.
Yeah, it's an indirect way of having exposure to the upside and the risk of Bitcoin. And again, it's something you could do directly. You could call your stockbroker and buy futures. But if you're not experienced in dealing with futures, it's a little bit tricky. So I guess one of the things you get with this ETF is you get the exposure to Bitcoin in a way that the SEC thinks is safer. And you don't have to be an expert in futures because the ETF people are going to handle all of that rigmarole.
P.S. All of this for a price, right? If you buy an exchange-traded fund that's managed, it costs.
There's always a cost. You pay for convenience. And in fact, you might want to hold off because this is just the first fund. We're expecting at least a dozen more funds in the near future. And you might want to shop around and get the lowest cost because futures are futures.
Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Thanks for the help on this.
My pleasure, David.
Let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.3% to 0.4% range. Crude oil is up 1.1% now, $83.38 a barrel, still near its highest level in 7 years. Netflix is set to release its quarterly profits and sales later today. It's counting on the success of its new series, Squid Game, a shockingly violent show that can be read as a critique of the dehumanization of capitalism. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer has more on the Netflix outlook.
Squid Game is the biggest original show launch Netflix has ever had. It's a South Korean drama in which contestants play one deadly game a day. They can win a big cash prize, but the price of failure is death. Squid Game is part of Netflix's strategy to attract international subscribers. Bloomberg reports about 132 million people have watched at least 2 minutes of the show, and 89% of them watched at least 75 minutes. Netflix had slumped earlier this year. The pandemic slowed down production, so it didn't have as many new hit shows. Plus, people are starting to go out more, not just staying home streaming movies. In the second quarter, Netflix's revenue increased 19% year over year, with more than 209 million paid memberships. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And the language learning company Duolingo reported this month a 40% spike in Americans signing up to learn Korean in the first 2 weeks after Squid Game started streaming. Home builders deal every day with the jammed up supply chains that we've been talking so much about, delays, price hikes. Sorry that air conditioning duct is back ordered. Nonetheless, these builders are feeling upbeat, as recorded in a new survey from the National Association of Home Builders and Wells Fargo. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
Home builders bummed out briefly when the pandemic hit last year, but after it became apparent the industry could keep building and buyers would keep buying, builder sentiment soared. It hit an all-time high last November, says economist Robert Dietz at the National Association of Home Builders.
Since then, we've gone from a market that was unsustainably hot to a market that is simply hot.
Lots of buyers are chasing not enough existing homes for sale, says Ken Leon at CFRA. And borrowing costs remain low.
Mortgage rates, relative to the last 30, 40 years, still a great market in terms of affordability.
Snarled supply chains are a problem, says the Home Builders Association's Robert Dietz, pushing delivery times out and prices up.
Builders report shortages of windows and doors and flooring and appliances. And I've even heard stories of garage doors that are not going to arrive for months.
Hard to sell a new house without one of those. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
We'll get fresh data on permits to build new homes, plus actual starts for construction later this morning. I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.